When you look at the role of the microbiome in digestion, the microbiome plays a very important role in breaking down complex carbohydrates and fibers. This is microbial fermentation. We touched on that, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in upcoming slides. Supports nutrient absorption, helps with bile acid metabolism and the formation of secondary bile acids, which I showed in that one schematic has an impact on GLP-1, 5-HT, so mood, metabolism, weight, blood sugar control, all of those things are dependent on these bile acid metabolites that the microbiome is producing. It regulates gut motility, again, through the enteric nervous system and through the production of serotonin, and maintains a healthy gut barrier, those tight junction proteins that keep the gut sealed and the mucus layer on top that create a barrier with your gut lining. Both of those are completely dependent on microbes in order to exist and function. Right? The microbiome also controls your metabolism, your appetite. So appetite regulation by regulating ghrelin, which is the hunger hormones, and then secretion of leptin, which is the satiety hormones. The secretion of ghrelin and leptin is based on getting signals from the gut through the microbiome, as a result of the microbiome, through the enteric nervous system and then to the brain, right? So the brain doesn't necessarily know what's happening in the gut until the microbes in the gut tell the brain through this gut-brain connection. Now, when the microbes are dysfunctional, it's not telling the brain when the gut is full. We talked about this, the motor signaling from the extension of the intestines and the stomach itself. That, again, is microbiome dependent. And then the microbes are also there to tell the brain that there's enough calories that have come in, stop producing the hunger hormone, and instead produce the satiety hormone leptin, which also upregulates metabolism. Right? The GLP-1 system that's now become ever so popular because of the peptides, that you have your natural GLP-1 system, many of the GLP-1 agonists, which is what the peptides are mimicking doing, those GLP-1 agonists are produced by the microbiome, including short-chain fatty acids. Right? So that's how you control blood sugar. That's how you control motility. That's how you control caloric absorption. And satiety is through activation of GLP-1 and another mechanism called PYY, that the GLP-1 agonist peptides don't affect. The microbiome plays a critical role here. So if you're struggling with weight, there's a massive microbiome component that's keeping you from being successful with weight loss. Influences cravings. Your microbes have a huge influence on what you eat, why you eat it. There was a early article, I'd say, I don't know, 10 years ago, that was titled "My Microbiome Made Me Eat a Cupcake." That was one of the most fascinating first articles I saw on the relationship of behavior and choice and metabolism and the microbiome, because there's evidence that certain microbes can create neurotransmitters that make you want to crave certain foods. Right? If I'm a microbe that likes sugary foods, if I'm a fungus, for example, or a mold that likes sugary foods, I'm going to try to get the host to eat sugary foods so that it's good for me. Right? So that is a profound way in which the microbes can influence your behavior and thereby your choices. So it's not just a matter of discipline for people that are struggling and eating the wrong things. Often it's your microbiome that needs to be adjusted to some degree in order to improve your behavior and your choices. And then certain opportunistic bacteria like Enterococcus faecalis can actually produce enzymes that degrade GLP-1 and create an in effect of that GLP-1 system, which is so important for blood sugar regulation. This is why an elevation of Enterococcus faecalis, which is a gram-negative opportunistic pathogen, increases your risk for diabetes very significantly, right? When they look at the gut microbiomes of individuals with diabetes, they tend to have higher relative abundance of Enterococcus faecalis, but they also tend to have a high relative abundance of Enterococcus faecalis in their mouths. So they can actually predict if certain individuals are going to be susceptible to developing type 2 diabetes by looking at your oral microbiome and going, wow, you've got a huge amount of Enterococcus faecalis, you are likely going to end up with the blood sugar metabolism issue. Right? So that microbe is typically in the mouth. We swallow it, ends up in the gut. If there are mechanisms that are supposed to be there that to control a pathogen like that aren't in place, then that pathogen gets to take over and then they can degrade GLP-1 and other things and then lead to type 2 diabetes, right? Again, just looking at the power of a microbe to effectuate the entire system. Like I mentioned, blood sugar regulation through GLP-1 and PYY, that's regulated through the microbiome. Microbiome metabolites, like phenolic compounds that are derived from foods, like berries, can enhance glucose uptake and metabolism. I use bergamot all the time as a way of controlling blood sugar in a very, very healthy way. Bergamot is phenomenal for that. I use polyphenols. I try to eat a lot of berries and cherries, blueberries, blackberries, and all that. You want to try to eat about a pound a day if you can. Put them in your smoothies and your breakfast or whatever you might want to, however you want to use it, or even certain phenolic compounds like EGCG or catechins from green tea, for example. I do take a little green tea extract each morning myself, along with the bergamot that I use with my meals. All of that stuff helps the microbiome effectuate GLP-1 and PYY in order to have perfect blood sugar control. Because dysregulation of blood sugar is one of the foundational steps that occurs in chronic disease propagation, right? Dysregulated gut microbiome also upregulates inflammatory responses through inflammasomes and cytokines. So then that way you get more and more inflammation, not only in the gut, but systemically. That leads to metabolic issues like insulin regulation issues, glucose control issues, because the inflammation can damage pancreatic cells, can damage components of the brain, which makes it hard for the brain to read your blood sugar levels and your pancreas to produce enough insulin to respond to blood sugar. Fat metabolism and storage. So microbes like Bacteroidetes are associated with increased fat breakdown versus Firmicutes, which is associated with increased fat storage. Now, keep in mind the Bacteroidetes and Firmicutes are the phylum of bacteria. So there's lots and lots of species that fall under each of those phylums. So it's not one particular bacteria that's bad or one particular bacteria that's good. You want to look at the ratio of these phyla, right? So typically you want to have a higher Bacteroidetes than Firmicutes. And that tells you overall you're probably healthier in terms of your microbiome and metabolism. Spore-based probiotics have been shown to switch this ratio and then favor the fat breakdown microbes over the fat storage microbes.